I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is City Councilman Dylan Meek. As the representative of District 4, Dylan oversees much of the downtown and uptown areas, as well as neighborhoods like Sanger Heights, Dean Highland, and the exciting 25th Street corridor. We'll review some of the city's 2018 highlights and get updates for big projects like the riverfront development and capital improvements. But first, it's the word on the street. Just before Christmas, the TIF board awarded $1.6 million in incentives for three projects, two of which are on the ascendant Elm Avenue, and one is particularly special to me. The largest award recipient was Pivovar, a Czech brewery and boutique hotel coming to the corner of 8th and Jackson. Two Czech businessmen, Julius Kramarczyk and Oldřich Kichon, fell in love with Central Texas after visiting the community of West and decided that downtown Waco would be the ideal spot for their almost $9 million development. The partners own and operate multiple businesses in Prague and will bring the flavors of Eastern Europe to the restaurant and bakery on site. The hotel features 32 suites, each with a small kitchen, appealing to the growing contingent of Waco's tourists who are looking for multi-day stays in the city and want more control over their dining options. On the other side of the Brazos, at the corner of MLK and Elm Avenue, we'll see even more changes as retired federal judge Ed Kincaid and his son Brad were awarded $660,000. Their proposed three-story building would provide ground floor retail, 31 apartments above, and an improved entryway into the Elm Avenue corridor. Some apartments will be set aside as workforce housing, which will give workers in the area an opportunity to live affordably close to the job site. You might remember Judge Ed Kincaid from a Downtown Depot episode in September 2017. He'd submitted a proposal for redeveloping Heritage Square, promising to bring a specialty grocer to the site, which many people in the know translated as Trader Joe's. City leaders, however, accepted the proposal for the Civic Center, an ambitious mixed-use development bringing 550,000 square feet of Class A office space. That project is yet to break ground, but congrats to the Kincaids for refocusing their attention on a new opportunity. The third project awarded TIF funds in the final meeting of December is mine. Yes, in between episodes of Downtown Depot and baking cookies at Pocchio's, I created a plan to redevelop the 400 block of Elm Avenue, just three blocks down from the Kincaids. This $1.5 million project will transform a dilapidated building constructed in 1899 into a bar slash performance space slash recording studio called Mammoth Culture. Waco has a prolific and talented creative class, but outside of a few venues like Cultivate 712 and Common Grounds, there's not a ton of desirable locations to show art or read poetry or play a concert. Mammoth Culture will have both indoor and outdoor stages, as well as a recording studio. If you ever wanted to start a podcast or record an oral history, you'll be able to do that on Elm Avenue. Mammoth Culture will share a building with a new location of Pocchio's. A large patio is located on the side of Mammoth Culture, directly across from Lula Jane's, and at the end of the property will be an outdoor shopping mall called The Slab. Much like how Nancy Grayson is addressing East Waco's food desert with her Elm Avenue food store, which should be open early this year, I hope to provide retail options that are often out of range for neighborhood residents. For instance, using the postal service is a struggle for many people I talk to in East Waco. The post office is far away, and if you want a stamp at HEB, you have to buy the entire sheet. Businesses at The Slab will operate out of shipping containers resting on top of the existing concrete slabs left over from the former buildings. If you're interested in opening a pharmacy, general store, record shop, or any sort of handmade process that's visually engaging, get in touch. Now let me be clear, I am not a trained real estate developer. I'm a community developer. I use Pocchio's and Downtown Depot as vehicles for understanding Waco better so I can effectively help in the ways that I can. I'll be documenting the process of being a small-scale developer on this show and on Facebook and Instagram at Mammoth Culture. I hope you'll follow along as we build this community together and I share useful tips that I learned so you can make your own block better. I'm now joined in studio by City Councilman Dylan Meek. Dylan is my brother from another mother who comes on yearly and discusses what's happening in Waco, and we get it from a great city perspective. So thanks so much for stopping in the studio.
Great to be here again with you. It's really fun.
How has the beginning of 2019 been for you?
It's been a blast.
Well, there is a lot of movement happening in Waco right now. The Greater Waco Chamber recently released some honestly, Dylan, pretty mind-blowing stats about what 2018 brought for this city. Over 2.6 million visitors in town, 81 months of continuous economic growth, an unemployment rate at 3.2%. Mm-hmm. These are both below state and national averages. These are numbers that we've never seen in Waco and continue to point to the fact that the star is facing upward.
Yep. I agree. I think it's a really exciting time. And those are the, you know, there are always going to be challenges. There's a lot of work to still be done. But anytime you have the level of momentum that Waco's seeing, it makes the work that much more exciting and makes morale for the people that are really engaging in this work that much better. Because there is so much momentum that we're working with. And a lot of the problems that we're facing are good problems. A low unemployment rate comes with a set of challenges and problems. But those are, that's the exact set of challenges and problems that we want to have.
Another good problem that's on tap for the city of Waco is this enlargement of I-35. Mm-hmm. It's proposed to begin in March of this year. We're having a larger highway come in because there's more people going on I-35. They want to come visit Waco, but that will present some issues for small business owners, people who live in town. What's the city's plan with I-35?
Sure. Yeah. So, and one thing that you left out, there's really a safety concern too. A lot of the on-ramps and exit ramps really are outdated and were not built for the level of traffic and the speed of cars on the highway. So it really, so much of the need for this conversion is also, or this construction project, is also because of the safety concerns with the current highway system. A contractor has been selected by TxDOT. One thing that I think it's really important to note here is that this is a TxDOT project. So the city's control over the project is very limited. We have a very close working relationship with TxDOT at the city. Kind of knowing that this project was coming down the pipeline, a couple of the steps that we took to prepare for it was really building strong relationships with the communications team at TxDOT, with our local TxDOT district representative, and even going and having conversation with the city of Temple and saying, what did you learn from this? Yeah. Tell us some things that, you know, you'd have done differently.
I love that from the city council. You guys are being so proactive with this project.
That's right. Just recognizing that it's going to have big implications. And one of the primary concerns I have is the negative implications that could exist for businesses. I think that what we've done well is, to this point, is put together a really robust communication plan. TxDOT is running point on that. There is a stakeholder committee that is made up of representatives. Myself and the mayor are on it. There's representatives from Baylor University, City Center Waco, the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce, and a few other institutions that I'm probably forgetting right now. I believe the county has a representative on that committee as well. And the point of that is to really make sure that all of these agencies and institutions are working in collaboration to make sure that we are prepared not only for the project, but are prepared to communicate that to our constituents. And I think, you know, what comes to mind immediately are the tourists that will be coming to Waco and making sure that they are able to exit and easily get to their destination and spend their money on the businesses here in town. But also that comes to the top of mind is our local citizens who on a near daily basis use I-35 to commute to and from work. And what are their alternative routes going to be and how are we going to communicate that? And as exits close temporarily or traffic slows temporarily, how are we pushing that information out? So the city is currently working on its own plan for what their communication strategy will be, but TxDOT has issued a very robust communication plan where they will communicate updates in real time. I'm hopeful that this project will be better than some of the other TxDOT I-35 construction projects we've seen, both from a amount of time it takes, but also from a interference with the local economy. And so I think that we've put together some good things to make sure that that happens. by really fighting to make sure some exits stay open for longer periods of time. They're closed just for minimal periods of time so people can get to the businesses that they're trying to get to. And that TxDOT did a great job of incentivizing the contractor to work hard to complete it quickly in their bid package.
That's great news to hear. I know, Dylan, that you guys were trying to find a way to complete the whole project rather than the way it's right now, kind of split up into two. Where are y'all in those discussions of hunting for more money?
Sure. So TxDOT has funded the project from North Loop 340 down to about 12th Street. And then from 12th Street to a little past Hillcrest Hospital remains unfunded, and therefore until that funding is procured, construction can't begin. The good news is there's about 18 more months of design on the southern portion of the highway that still needs to take place, and we have about 18 months to get that money. And I think that we have a really strong, a good plan to do that. I'm hopeful that we can get the funding that we need from TxDOT. The local NPO, which is a local organization made up of different municipalities and counties, or McLennan County, can steward some TxDOT money, and we'll be pushing a lot of funds towards that southern half as well. But the general idea is that there is a scenario where as the design of the southern half is being completed, the funding will be allotted and construction can begin very shortly after the design is done. The southern half is going to be much shorter than the northern half, and so there's a scenario where they could really still finish at the exact same time, which is our goal.
TxDOT is putting a lot of money onto the interstate, but the city of Waco has committed a lot of money for its own streets. Mm-hmm. A record $17.5 million have been allocated for streetscape improvements this upcoming year. What are some of the plans for making our neighborhood streets better?
Yeah, so there's a lot of infrastructure needs in the city of Waco right now, and sometimes it's painful to spend money on some of the hidden infrastructure, like water lines underground that people don't see that really does need repair. But streets is an exciting one because if you've driven on many Waco streets, you know that they're in need of some upgrades. And so we have a plan in place. There's information online that you can go to the city's website and see where the street program will be going in the next couple of years and what streets you can expect to see repaired. We definitely, by reference, I think that as recently as 2014, the city was allocating just over $3 million to its street program. So this increase from just over three to $17.5 million is significant.
Wow. The city has also contributed public dollars to redeveloping the riverfront right there at I-35 mm-hmm. and the Brazos. Catalyst Partners is working on some. I know that Westdale Properties also has a little piece of that. Where is Catalyst in this process?
Yeah, that's right. So the city and Catalyst have inked a formal development agreement that we're excited about and feel really strong about. And dirt should be turned this year. We're expecting as early as late spring, possibly later in the summer for us to really see the project begin and dirt starting to get turned. But the development agreement is inked. It is happening, and that is exciting. We had to do some environmental cleanup that delayed the project. That was, going back over 100 years of different waste being put into the ground there. But
that used to be an RV park, right?
That's right. Yeah, well, part of it was that, and then prior to that, I think it was actually a city dump. And
okay.
So it definitely needed some good cleanup. The good news is it came back. The work was completed under budget, but the timeline took longer than we expected. But now that we're under contract, have a signed deal with Catalyst to proceed with the actual development of that space, we really should start seeing some traction.
This is a $100 million deal that should be going right there on the Brazos. And when you just think about the drive-up appeal, people coming from Dallas to Waco, when the first thing you see is a beautiful new development rather than the Golden Arches or a Whataburger mm-hmm. sign, it's really going to change the perception of Waco for a lot of these tourists. So I think that is a worthy use of public dollars. The city has also put some dollars toward hotels in downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's funny because we really have a really strong hotel occupancy rate in the city right now because of the tourists that we're seeing. And so there's been some different discussion among the council of how should we incentivize hotels. What we're not seeing a lot of times is the development and construction of hotels that have meeting rooms or that are really kind of what we would call a full service hotel with a full restaurants and space for conventions or events. And that is important not only for obtaining conventions and meeting the needs of tourists, but also for locals to be able to use for weddings or for events that they're having or, you know, for the restaurant as a destination. And so the goal of the council is to make sure that when we're incentivizing hotels, we're making sure that the type of hotel that is coming into downtown are going to be unique, more experiential hotels that are going to provide meeting room for locals and tourists, and also have kind of that full service model where there'll be restaurants and bars.
I'm thinking that there's a parallel between building a bunch of hotels and hoping that Magnolia is as important culturally as it is 5 years from now, as it is now. And the project we were talking about earlier with the redevelopment of Heritage Square, the Civic Center, they're proposing 550,000 mm-hmm. yep. square feet of Class A office. And we don't have people who need 550,000 square feet of Class A office right now. It's sort of a build it and they will come scenario with the office space. How is that different with the hotels?
Yeah, I think that, you know, everyone talks about the Magnolia effect, and again, continue to be so grateful for the impact that organization has had to our city in such a positive way. But I think that, you know, I believe that, you know, first, I don't see them going anywhere or waning, but even, you know, regardless of what happens in the future, I think Waco is going to continue to grow because of the strong Texas economy. As Dallas and Austin continue to become more expensive and more congested, I think that the quality of life that Waco can provide is going to be attractive to a large number of people. There's between 750 and 1,100 people moving to Texas every day. And I think that Waco is going to be an attractive destination for people to come to live. And in light of that, I think that there's a lot of different things that cities need to be responsible for to make sure, or a city like Waco, particularly with its geographic location, needs to do to make sure that it's prepared to absorb businesses, to take in the residents. And with that in mind, I think that Magnolia has been an incredible booster shot to our economy, but I don't think it's going to be something that comes and then goes. I think that that it will continue to be successful, but regardless, I think that the Waco economy should continue to really grow, especially if the city is strategic in its recruitment of good, solid businesses and does some other things right that need to be done.
And this Magnolia Network, the TV mm-hmm. channel that they're putting together, it's going to be big.
No doubt. Yep. I mean, it's a really exciting
even though
project.
Fixer Upper is not making new episodes, Chip and Joanna and a very sharp team of individuals
That's
have
right.
found a way to spin that success over into other avenues.
Really exciting project. And the number of jobs that will be created from that and the number of, you know, I know that there's a lot of programming that's going to take place here in Waco, and that's really exciting for because that creates jobs and that creates opportunities for a wide range of individuals.
Magnolia is the buzzy name, but the Greater Waco Chamber has been working really hard to bring other businesses mm-hmm. to town. They secured and completed 10 new business projects, 5 expansions of existing companies, and 5 attractions of mm-hmm. new companies coming mm-hmm. to the area, including Zero Mountain, which is a big they do like freezer space for HEB and maybe ice cream and cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Fairlife LLC, Jessup Holding, they created 435 direct jobs and over $150 million in new capital mm-hmm. investment.
Yep.
There are such high sights set for the business climate in
yep,
Waco in
that's
2019.
Right. Yeah, I really do, just to kind of echo what I've already said, but I think that as Waco continues to grow, I think we've kind of hit this tipping point where there is a large desirability to be here and do business here. And there's a lot of business sense for that too. It is – real estate's less expensive here. The cost of living is less expensive in Waco. And so there's really some advantages to that. We're halfway between DFW and Austin, and those places continue to to grow. And I mean, even something like, you know, there's a recent announcement for Apple putting in a new facility in Austin, and, you know, huge numbers of employees being hired. And I do believe that Waco will feel that disruption, because even an established economy like Austin, like, that is going to just, again, increase expense and cost and population, and given our location. And so many of the exciting things happening here from a quality of life perspective and otherwise, I think that people are going to be excited to explore this as an alternative to some of these other cities that have traditionally been places that people have moved to.
I began the episode by discussing East Waco and Elm Avenue, the Kincaid's Project and mine that were just awarded TIF funding there. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing on the east side of the river?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of excitement going on right now. I think that what's so cool about the development over there is that there's a lot of leaders that are really committed to and working hard to ensure that equitable development is planned out and thought through, and that we have policies and procedures to ensure that there's opportunities for all. East Waco has a rich culture and a real history. And it's something that, you know, it's not my council district, and you know, council member Bearfield would be more articulate than I would, but I think that really that we're trying to be very proactive to ensure that development occurs in a very healthy way in East Waco, and the council is planning to have a retreat in the first quarter of 2019 to really discuss that and say, what does it look like for a city to put policies and procedures in place to ensure that there's equitable development. And
how terrific that we live in a city where, from the top down, the mandate is, let's find a way to make sure that this is equitable for all.
I agree. And I think another cool thing is City Center Waco is the organization that stewards the strategic plan for downtown development and growth, and they've procured a couple of properties or under contract for a couple of properties in downtown Waco, and to the extent that those properties close, I think that that'll be, you know, another opportunity for a nonprofit organization to really make sure that the development of those properties is in line with city goals and community goals, and whatever that looks like is still to be determined and how that's played out. But that's an exciting opportunity for that organization as well.
You're hearing from District 4 City Councilman Dylan Meek here on Downtown Depot. Dylan, we've talked a lot about downtown, but how is the city helping small businesses outside of the downtown area?
Yeah. One of the things that I'm most excited about is a new initiative called Startup Waco. If there's a word to describe Waco right now, I believe it's strategy. There has been such an emphasis put on making sure that when we observe problems in the community that we collaborate and work to develop a strategic plan to address those problems. Startup Waco is an organization that is meant to provide a strategic plan to grow the entrepreneurship community in our city, to build an entrepreneurial ecosystem and provide resources to small businesses to make sure that they have the success they need to grow. That includes access to capital, mentorship, and co-working space. And I believe that, you know, the florist and the barber, all the way to a tech startup, will have the opportunity to really tap into the resources that this entity is providing, and in so doing, be more likely to be successful. And that's a citywide initiative. And if you are a small business in Waco and you need something, you need anything. I need a mentor to help me. I'm really great at selling ice cream, but I don't know. I have HR. I need HR help, or I need a mentor to teach me how to keep my books. This is an organization that can connect you to those resources to, again, make sure that we have help, that the entrepreneurship community is set up for success.
Dr. Greg Lehman, the interim director of Startup Waco, he was on Downtown Depot last month, and he had this quote, Dylan, quote, "Our vision is that if you have a great idea, if you've got passion and you've got grit, Startup Waco can help you find everything else you need. Mm-hmm. That's our promise." Mm-hmm. And it's so powerful because it's not just a promise from Dr. Greg Lehman, mm-hmm. although he's a very trustworthy guy.
Yep.
It's a promise from the city.
Yep.
It's a promise from the county.
Yep.
It's a promise from Baylor, mm-hmm. who has dedicated considerable resources to this. This is such a cooperative agenda mm-hmm. That is really a terrific opportunity for anyone in Waco mm-hmm. who has an idea and they want to make it more.
Mm-hmm. And I love the spirit of this and so many other initiatives where you see all of these different stakeholders in the community rallying around a cause and marching together to accomplish the goal. So, you know, it's been really fun to see the county and Baylor and the city and foundations and the Chamber of Commerce, the Chambers of Commerce in town really work towards this. A couple of other things that are going on that are cool is we've seen some merchant groups kind of outside of downtown really pop up and formulate. One of them is the LaSalle on the LaSalle corridor from University Parks to the Circle, and the businesses along that corridor really formulate and talk through their goals and priorities. And one that I've worked with more closely because it's in my council district is the 25th Street business corridor that kind of ranges from Waco Drive to Cumberland. And really, I've personally really enjoyed working with them and hearing, you know, what are their concerns? How do we prioritize how to build out the business district that they want here? And I think that that's really been rewarding for me, but it's been productive in conversation and have already accomplished some of the goals in reducing speed. A couple other goals are traffic safety, reducing speed, and they've had, you know, strong conversations with the police chief, and there's been a couple of illegal gambling operations going on in their neighborhood, and they were very loud that they disapproved that kind of activity, and since then the police department has been able to shut down those establishments, and so really gaining ground, and it's exciting to see these merchants come together and say, this is our goal for the community. And then it's been so rewarding, I think, for me and the rest of the city to get behind those goals.
I'll wrap you up here on this, Dylan. Give me one personal goal and one professional goal that you have for the upcoming year.
Sure. I think, you know, personal that just rises to the top is be a good dad and be a good husband and continue to seek the Lord. I mean, those are kind of the, you know, Vince Lombardi, you know, said, God, family, football, and for me, it's been, God, family, Waco, and so I think that for the first for 2019, from a personal perspective, is just pursuing my faith and pursuing being just, you know, known as a good dad and a good husband, and so I'm excited to continue to press into that in 2019. I think professionally, for, you know, it's particularly in the role of counsel, I think there's two of the things that we talked about today, but I-35 is, you know, we've got to get that right. And I'm continuing to make sure that we are doing everything we can, that what is going to be an inevitably painful process is as painless as possible. And I think that that is something that we're definitely, we need to nail. And then broader, and where there's a lot more ambiguity and gray and what this looks like, it really is establishing a set of plans for how to ensure that Waco develops equitably. And I think that that's an exciting conversation that we can have.
Councilman Dylan Meek, thank you so much for taking some time in early 2019 to educate all of our listeners about what's happening in this exciting
city.
Such
an honor to be here. So thankful for you and really had a blast.
Thanks again to Dylan Meek for previewing what should be a super exciting year in Waco. We'll be back on January 18th, but if you want to stay informed in between episodes, follow Waco Business News on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.